Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Gwyn Scheltemer, and my co-host, Felicity Signal-Reed. Each week at this time, we usually visit with an author or editor, teacher or publisher, playwright or poet, getting a glimpse into the lives of local and regional people who have a connection with the world of words. But this week, because it is the holiday season, several writers in the region have dropped by to read to you a few Christmas stories they have written. Perhaps they will jog memories of your own Christmases, past and present. Consider it our gift from Word on the Hills to you. Now sit back with a hot drink and perhaps a roaring fire, relax and enjoy. Our first Christmas piece is read by Maureen Mullally. Maureen is an artist, singer and writer and has lived in Northumberland for over 50 years. But the poem she's going to read was a collaboration between Maureen and her late husband Brian. Brian Mullally authored several novels and was the recipient of 5 awards for short stories. His collection of short stories, A Patch of Blue, is available on Amazon. So Maureen, tell us a little about the poem that you're going to read.
Well, I've told this story many times to my family and anyone who would listen about a special Christmas just before the war when I was a very little girl and Father Christmas came to see me. In recent years, my late husband Brian condensed my story into a poem, which I would like to read to you now, together with his introduction. The poem is called Two Old Gents. Brian wrote, Maureen loves to relate the story how her beloved grandfather always managed to miss seeing Father Christmas when she was a very little girl. And the poem is Two Old Gents, and here it is. Granny and Grandad are coming today. They are coming to share Christmas Eve. I hope Grandad will manage to stay. Last year, he was sorry to leave and missed Santa Claus and his sleigh. Old people take a long time when they go, and dear Grandad had to be excused. He didn't see the old man with cheeks aglow and his twinkling blue eyes all bemused. And I wanted him to meet Santa so. He's such a kindly bewhiskered old gent, and I know they would get along too. Santa gave me a doll and some lavender scent, and his eyes were the same color blue. How I wish Grandad had seen the event.
Oh, shame. Yay for Grandads. That's lovely. Thank you, Maureen. Next up is someone you all know very well, my co-host Felicity Signal-Reed. Felicity writes poetry, short fiction, and non-fiction. Her historical novel, Alone, A Winter in the Woods, was published in 2015 and is set right here in Northumberland and in Adolphus Town near Kingston. But today, Felicity will be reading us a Christmas story. So tell us a little bit about the story, Felicity.
Well, this story is about a donkey. And the donkey was based on the exploits of a donkey that we had as children for a fairly short time because he turned out to be rather difficult to look after. And as you will see, I put that into the story. And indeed, his start in adventures came about because he took part in Christmas celebrations.
Oh, okay.
So it's called Stage Struck. The first snow fell late that year. November was mellow, the sun turning the long grass pinky gold in the morning, the cedars holding their green, and the earth sending up a faint mist through the frost. Edward rolled in his field next to the house and brayed for his summer friends who'd shared his pasture. Alone now, he huddled in his small straw-lined barn on cold nights. I'd inherited Edward from my uncle and aunt when they sold their farm. He became my daughter's pet. But Megan left for theatre college. She came home sometimes on the weekend, but most of the time Edward had only me. I felt sorry for him. He needed company. One morning the phone rang. I answered. Nina Harris speaking. A voice said, Hello. I believe you own a donkey, right? I do. I carried the phone to the window to check that Edward was safely in his field. He'd escaped in the past and was bored and ripe for mischief. I kept a close eye on him these days. I'm Ron Green, working with some young people here for a few weeks. Yes, don't you run a drama group? That's me. I wonder if I could use your donkey in a Christmas play. Visions of Edward bringing the production to a halt, kicking one of the actors off the stage, or escaping, flew through my mind. Well, he'd probably love it. He likes having a job. But maybe you'd better meet. Ron's voice bounced back at me. Oh, yes, I'd love to. What am I doing? I thought. But a meeting arranged, I told Edward about his possible future. A casting call. What excitement. I rubbed his woolly head. Happy, he took a run around the field before returning to huff gently in my ear. Ron arrived that afternoon. Bundled against the cold, his face was rosy, his eyes bright. In the field, Ron approached Edward, holding out some pieces of apple. Natural friends. I was pleased when Ron offered to collect Edward and bring him home himself from rehearsals. The following week, Edward donned his harness and accompanied Ron to the bright lights of a theatrical life. I heard he behaved impeccably, and soon became a favorite. Ron wanted Edward, Mary, and Joseph to make their way to Bethlehem through the streets of the town, gathering an audience on the way to the church. On Christmas Eve, Meg and I went to see the show. Glittering snow showers floated in the light of the street lamps, powdering those who'd come out for the play and the carol service. Mary rode Edward. Proud to carry her, he danced through the snow behind Joseph. When people called out, he turned his head to nod at them, his big ears waggling, his dark eyes seeking admirers. Stuffed sheep had been borrowed from an upscale sheepskin store, and two oxen painted on a backdrop hung over the inner doors to the church, making a stage of the porch. The only live animal, Edward, was a star. The children presented the Christmas story gracefully. Edward was the perfect extra. His head turned to each character who spoke, but otherwise he kept still. Mary and Joseph met the innkeeper. Shepherds pushed through the audience to the church porch. Three shimmering kings carrying brightly painted caskets arrived. The choir sang, "O Little Town of Bethlehem," encouraging people to join in. Everyone, including Edward, loved the whole experience. However, in the next month, Edward fled his paddock several times. A danger on the road, both to himself and unwary drivers, two of his capers resulted in police visits late at night. Drastic measures would soon be in order. But finally I did find his escape route. In the far corner of his field, there was a slight hollow where in summer he liked to roll in the dusty grass. Now lying flat, front legs stretched forward and back ones dragging behind, he wiggled his body patiently on the crusted snow until he slid out under the fence into a shallow ditch. Then he kicked up his heels and trotted off down the road. Around the beginning of February, Meg was due to visit, so I called to tell her we needed to strengthen the fence, to bring the wire down to the ground and bury it as deep as the weather would allow. "That sounds quite a project," she replied. "Lucky I'm bringing a friend home. He can help out." When she arrived, I was surprised to find it was Ron she had in tow. First they visited Edward, safely shut in his barn, but then they were eager to talk. "Remember I told you the Lantern Theatre wanted young actors for Spring Awakening, and I got a part? I met up with Ron again, working on the same production. And, see, Mum, we think life will be much easier if we share an appointment." I was shocked. But heroically, I thought, I kept quiet. We worked to make Edward's field secure, and I must say, they laughed as often as they disagreed, working well together. By May, I'd grown accustomed to their relationship. Working in the theatre didn't provide an extravagant lifestyle, but both Meg and Ron seemed to be happy. Unfortunately, I still had major problems with Edward. Our winter repairs had been successful, but I knew Edward was looking for a way out. What if I couldn't keep him at home? Would he end up at the Knackers, turned into dog food? Then I heard the horses we'd boarded in the past were not returning this summer. He was going to be as lonely as ever. In despair, I seriously thought of advertising a donkey for sale. But one night, Ron rang. "Hey, Nina, does Edward like sheep?" "Actually, yes. He guarded some on my uncle's farm. My cousin's got a problem with coyotes and is looking for a donkey to protect her flock. Would Edward like the job?" shortly after Edward returned to farm life. We visited at Christmas, wondering if he hankered after his glamorous, if fleeting, stage career. But he seemed happy with his real-life sheep. The next year we couldn't go. We were preparing for a different event. On Christmas Eve, Ron called me to say I'd become a grandmother. Meg was fine, and of course they were calling the baby Edward.
Delightful. Thanks, Felicity. Well, thanks again to Maureen Mullally for sharing the poem written by her late husband, Brian. And of course, thanks to you, my co-host, Felicity Signal Reed, for reading your story as well. You've been listening to a special holiday edition of Word on the Hills. Join us again after the break when we'll have another guest and more stories for you to enjoy. But before we go to break, I'd like to just share this little fun poem that my grandchildren introduced to me. The funniest face looked out at me from a silver ball on the Christmas tree. At first I thought it was Santa's elf, but it was just a reflection of myself.